If somebody is an influencer and they don't have management, what are some things that they should pay attention to when reading their contracts? Where do influencers get burned?
So there's two big things that gets missed quite often: exclusivity and paid ad usage. When an influencer gets hired by a brand to create content for them and post it to their channel, generally it includes organic social resharing, where the brand can then take that content, reshare it to their social channels with credit to the influencer. They cannot boost that content or put ad dollars behind it. So boost it, whitelist it, anything like that, because that would also incur a licensing fee. A lot of talent don't know that they should be charging extra for that.
When a brand has extra dollars to put behind your ad, that means they have extra dollars to pay you.
Exactly. And then the other thing would be exclusivity.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Bougie Best Friend Podcast. It's me, your host, Coco Cornelius-Lewinsky, and I'm in a great mood today. I hope you're in a great mood too. If you're not in a great mood, and if you feel like you need a little day for yourself and to just relax and do something that you truly love to do, order your favorite food or something, I absolutely support that, and you have my permission. Not that you asked for one, but I got all cute today because I interviewed my manager, Brooke Donahue. I've been signed with Hermana Agency, I think about 2 years. It's so funny. We both can't really figure out how long I've been with the agency. I mean, we should probably look at our contract. My life absolutely changed for the better ever since I signed with them. And we talked about influencer marketing. I'm bringing you behind the scenes of what does it mean to be a part of a Bougie Best Friend backstage vibes. I don't know. Before we get into the episode, I'm going to read a review. This review comes from, I think it's pronounced Angeles Flores 9, or Americans would probably say Angeles Flores 9. Title is "One of My Favorite Podcasts." Oh, I love how transparent is all the information and advice she gives. She makes me see things in a different perspective and also believe that I can have everything I want in a relationship. Angie. And yes, you can, Angie. I'm here to tell you that you can, 100%. Okay, I think that's enough for my intro. Before we get into the episode, please, guys, just leave a 5-star rating and review. It means so much. It helps the show grow. The bigger the show gets, the bigger the guests get, and we all can thrive, I would say. Okay, I think that's enough for my intro. Now let's jump into the episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brooke, welcome to Bougie Best Friend Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Coco.
I feel like I said this in the beginning of every episode, but I'm so excited to talk to you. But I'm like super excited to talk to you because we've been planning this for, I feel like, 6 months.
Literally, I think since you launched your podcast.
For sure. You and I have been working together. How long? Was it been a year and a half?
I think a year and a half. Yeah. If not, maybe a bit longer.
Yeah, so we've been working together for a year and a half, and I know you really well, but at the same time, I feel like I don't know you that well outside of the work stuff and all of the other things that we talk about on a daily basis. So I'm going to start with you and your introduction. Tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? You know, the basics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am based in Regina, Saskatchewan, which is in Canada. And I was born here, raised here, and I'm still here. I've never lived outside of Regina, which is crazy, but we travel lots, my husband and I. So that's been really great because living in Saskatchewan is relatively cheap, especially compared to you, Coco, living in Miami. I hear like what you pay for rent and food, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's insane. Where I'm living, it's like half that. But yeah, I live in Regina. It's great. All my family and friends are here. To dive into like a bit of career stuff, because I mean, that's kind of the bread and butter of what takes up a lot of my time. I'm a talent manager at Hermana Agency, and I get to represent amazing talent like Coco herself. I started as a teacher. So I was a high school teacher at actually a private high school in Regina for 5 years. And I taught math, English, psychology, interior design, like such a wide range of subjects. I taught that for 5 years, but I knew all along that I didn't want to be a high school teacher. I knew that in university, but I stuck through it because my parents were like, but Brooke, like, you get your summers off, you get 2 weeks at Christmas, like there's so many perks to being a teacher. And I had no idea what I wanted to do when I finished high school. I always joked that I wanted to be a real housewife of like Beverly Hills. That was like the dream. I'm obsessed with reality TV, pop culture, entertainment, that whole thing. But like being from the prairies in Canada, you don't get a lot of opportunities, especially like that. So I went into teaching, and then it was during COVID that it kind of allowed me time to figure out, because I had the time to do it. I didn't have any kids at the time. My husband has always loved his job. He's a software developer, and I wanted to have a career that I was really passionate about like he was. So I didn't know what that looked like. I've always been really interested in social media, but I myself, I'm not a content creator. I can't do what you do, Coco. I can't put my life out there for thousands of people to like comment and criticize. And like, of course, there's so many perks to being an influencer. Do not get me wrong, but I just don't have it in me. I'm not that creative person, but I'm very outgoing.
And you're very organized. I was about to say, as you were saying, I couldn't do what you do. I'm like, I thank you every single time when you give me a to-do list and when you give me a task and like, this is by this time you need to finish this and that, because I'm not that organized.
Yeah. So honestly, a lot of my teaching like skills of like getting students to hand things in and hounding them to like, yeah, get things in, do these edits, whatever, it actually has transitioned really well into this talent manager role, because I am highly organized. And that's like a big asset of, or what we look for when hiring a talent manager. So it was during COVID that I had time to finally reflect on what it was that I wanted to do. And I went to a conference in Toronto called Collision Tech Conference with my husband. And there was tons of like really big speakers, celebrities, influencers, tech moguls, like everyone was there. It was huge, huge, huge. And it was there that I was like, influencer marketing is getting really big. This would have been like 2019, 2020. And Saskatchewan is not utilizing this at all. And if they were, it was only in like a brand ambassador way, where like you got free stuff, free services, free gifting, but nothing that was like paid and really like organized and selling the products and services. So I started doing that freelance. I did it for a few local companies, expanded a bit to across Canada. That's when I met Kaylee. So Kaylee is the CEO and founder of Hermana. And I had hired her because she's an influencer herself as well. So I had hired her for a campaign that I was running where she's from in Calgary, and we connected. And long story short, I really did not like working for myself. I'm a team player. I like having people to bounce ideas off of. And I was looking for a team, and I wasn't in a place that I could hire people. I was doing fine on my own, but I wasn't in a place where I could bring on a team under myself. So I wanted to join a team that was doing what I was doing, but better. And she was, with Hermana Agency. So that's when I approached her and was like, hey, if I come onto Hermana — she wasn't hiring at the time, it was only her being full time.
How many years ago?
This would have been 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't hiring. It was just herself full time. And then she had two part-time employees. And I was like, if I bring my clients over to you — now I didn't have a ton of clients at the time, but I was like, I'll bring my clients over to you. Can you hire me? And I just want to work with the team. I love what you're doing. And she was like, yes, if you're going to bring your clients to me and you want to work, like, yes, of course.
Bring me the money. So then,
yeah, exactly. And Kaylee's an amazing boss, and we've built something really great. And I worked for her doing brand campaigns. So I didn't manage any talent when I first came on. I was strictly running brand campaigns. So she would give me a brand, I would scout influencers, manage that campaign for her. McCall, another talent manager that works at Hermana, she was managing talent. And I saw what she was doing, and I wanted to do that. I didn't love working on the brand side. I saw what she was doing working with the talent and advocating for them. And I was like, that's what I want to do. So I was like, okay, well, in order to do that, I need to scout my own talent. I have like very much like the mindset of like things aren't going to come to you. You need to work hard and get them for yourself. So I knew. So I approached Kaylee and I was like, I want to do what McCall's doing. She was like, great, find some talent to bring on. So I did that. And when I did that, I basically just scrolled through TikTok and Instagram, mostly TikTok, because at that time, TikTok was still like fairly new. And a lot of the big TikTokers didn't have representation because they had smaller followings on Instagram. And that was typically where these larger agencies were scouting from. So it was then on TikTok that I scouted my first influencer, literally DM'd her and was like, hey, I love your content. Do you have a manager? I would love to chat. And we chatted. It was a great fit. And she still signed with Hermana to this day. And then I just kept doing that and building my own roster. And that's kind of where things are at today now.
Okay, let's start with when you were scouting through Instagram and TikTok. What were you looking for in a talent?
Okay, so this is one thing that I stay really true to, is that I will only scout and bring on to my roster talent that I am interested in. And that can range. So like, yes, I'm usually only interested, like my page, my For You page is generally entertainment, pop culture, fashion, that sort of thing. But I also can really appreciate people in other niches like gaming, technology, entrepreneurship that maybe I wouldn't necessarily follow or come up on my For You page based on my likes, but they have really great content. They're giving really great insight and I'm interested. They have me hooked. So as long as I am interested in what they are posting, that's like the first thing. So when I'm scouting, I have to be interested in their content. Number two, they have to be providing some sort of value. So they're not just, I mean, there's a whole niche of itself of like doing like the TikTok viral dance and that sort of thing. But that's not really what I'm looking for, like the trendy viral content. I want to see that they're making their own content and they're making it personal to themselves. So for example, Coco, when I saw you, I don't even remember how our relationship or like how I got placed to you initially, but this is how I remember it. So it was in November. I don't remember what year this would be.
Yeah, it was November.
Ago.
It was November. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was in November. And I remember seeing your video of the lip filler. Do you know which one I'm talking about on TikTok? Yeah. And I was obsessed with you because not a lot of people talk about like filler, Botox, like the medical aesthetic stuff. They want everyone thinking that this is just au naturel, right? Like, and you were just so real about everything you were posting, but yet you're so beautiful, naturally beautiful, but you're just enhancing that beauty. Yeah. And that's what I loved about you. So I had sent that TikTok to our tech. So we have Slack. That's like what we use for our communications. And I sent your profile or that TikTok to our channel. And I was like, I'm obsessed with her. Her content is so real, raw, and original. Like, she's beautiful. She's unique. She has,
you never
and
told
not just
me that.
To like pump your, but that's the true thing. So I sent that. And then another talent manager at our agency was like, wait, I'm talking to her already about like potential management. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see how this like works out. So anyways, a couple months goes by. We meet with you and I believe it was end of January. And there was two of us that were like, we both really like her. Who is a better fit for her? Because we always want to make sure we're placing talent with the best talent manager and like what our capacity is and things like that. And I got you at the end of the day. And we've been working together for, I think it's 2 years now, Coco, if I'm being honest. So I started working with Coco in February, and that is how our relationship started. She launched her podcast in June, and she has just been busy and thriving ever since. So, yeah.
I love it. And the story is pretty similar. Yeah. I was speaking to you. I mean, not the story. My version.
Tell me,
the way.
Yeah, tell me your
the
side.
The way I remember it, I was talking to Natalie. Because we knew each other from Instagram and something, and we were talking about management, and I was talking to a few agencies at the time, but I wasn't really clicking with anyone. And then I had a call with you guys, and it was a few calls. Actually, let me get more into detail with this so people who are listening, so the listeners can have like a little insight. As an influencer, you can definitely do everything on your own, but it's difficult, obviously. It's difficult to negotiate. For me personally, I'll say what is difficult for me. For me, it was difficult to constantly reach out to brands. You don't have all the contacts. And it was difficult for me to do the back and forth, negotiations, contracts. And it was just a lot of admin work that I wasn't really good at. And you have to, that's why in the very beginning I said you're so organized. That's, you really, really have to be really on top of your game. Because of the exclusivity deals, because like there's so many things that you need to be on top on, especially when you're an influencer, you don't read your contracts. It's going to happen to you that you sign a contract and your face is going to be all over everywhere forever, which literally happened to me in Croatia.
Really?
When I was doing it. Yeah, I think I sent you that picture. I'm going to send you the picture, but I'm on every single coffee machine from this company. I think I did that campaign 10 years ago. 10 years ago.
No way. And did you have any idea when like you signed it that it was going to be everywhere?
No. It was supposed to be only for Instagram. At that time, think about this, 10 years ago, nobody really, Instagram wasn't really a thing. Nobody was doing influencing. You obviously had models and I was hired as a model, but I didn't. I didn't know anything about contracts. So that is something that you really need to understand it and you need to put in the work to like go through all the, also English is not my first language and I don't understand half of these words. So it's very difficult. But to be very transparent for our listeners, obviously an agency takes a percentage from whatever deal I have, whether I bring it on or you bring it, it doesn't matter. The agency takes a percentage. I would love to talk more about your day to day.
Yeah.
How does your day look like? Like, how do you organize your days? Let's start with, can you just like walk me through a usual day?
Okay. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit more because I really liked what you were getting at as to like why people sign to an agency. I feel like everyone thinks they need a manager as soon as they gain a following, right? As soon as they hit that like 10, 20K on Instagram, that 100K on TikTok, they're like, I need to find an agent. And a lot of the times that's not the case. People truly don't need management until they're at a spot where they're like, okay, I am making a very sustainable income and I am getting so many brand deals or brand inquiries a month that I cannot manage this myself. And that's not the only time that people need an agent or a manager. I mean, there's also times where creators just make really, really quality content and they're not getting exposed to these brands like they want to be and they want to build those relationships. Agencies have generally really strong, positive relationships with brands. So a lot of times, talent want to be signed with agencies who align with their values so that they are exposed to those brands that they want to work with. So say, for example, Coco signs with us because she knows that we have a really strong relationship with Brand X, right? So then when she signs with us, I message Brand X and I'm like, hey, here is our new talent that we just brought on. Coco's based in Miami. She's a fashion, dating, lifestyle creator. Send some information about your stats and what you do and send some analytics. This is what kind of content that she could create for you. Would you be interested in partnering with her? Putting you in front of those brands that we already have a relationship with, that is one of the number one reasons as to why talent want to sign with an agent. It also gives you a sense of community. So signing with an exclusive agency, so Hermana only signs exclusive talent at the moment. There are agencies out there that will sign non-exclusive talent. There's lots actually, where you can be signed to multiple agencies or multiple agents. In that case,
how can that even work? Honestly, it's so confusing.
It's so confusing because there's too many cooks in the kitchen a lot of the time, right? Because you don't really know who's handling what. The part that we really like with exclusive management is that you also get a sense of community. So in Slack, there's also a channel where all of our influencers are there. We're able to put different brands and they're like, hey, so-and-so is casting for people with a dog. Who has a dog here? Send me your like analyst or your profile and I'll send it over to them. Even if I get a casting for talent that my talent don't meet, there's other talent managers on our roster that I can send that to as well. So it's just like a really strong sense of community. We went to New York Fashion Week last year as an agency and we all got to meet up, go for dinner, go to shows, that sort of thing. That was really fun. So there's lots of perks with signing with management, but it's definitely not necessary to be a content creator. Lots of people do it on their own, as long as you have that really strong business mindset, a strong work ethic, and really strong organization skills, like you mentioned, Coco.
I know for me, it was very difficult to, as I mentioned already, stay organized, but also when you work on your own, when I work for myself and I have you guys as a support system, but before I had you, you just get so overwhelmed. You get lost so easily. After that coffee walk, the video, everything just like blew up and I realized that I need some assistance. But I was always hoping that I'm going to actually make a decent living off of Instagram. But I was like, yeah, it's been so long. You know, when is this going to happen?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. But you know, it started happening, thank God.
How did you pick Hermana? I didn't know that you were like talking to other agencies, and that's so smart because you always want to make a really educated decision before you sign with an agency. How did you decide on Hermana? Like, what was there? Was there like a value or something we offered that like stood out? How did you make that decision? Because I know a lot of talent really struggle with picking the right agency. Mm-hmm.
So my boyfriend has a friend who is an agent or a manager or something for the NBA or whatever, some kind of sports. Yeah. So he connected me some kind of sports. So he connected me to some of his friends, and then we were talking, and I just never felt like, for me, working with somebody, I really need to have a vibe with you. And I'm so happy that you got selected for me as my manager, because I feel like you communicate pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it was very important for me to just feel like I can talk to you. You know, it's not that complicated for me because I knew the commissions. I knew the technicalities. So at that point for me, it was just like finding that person that I'm going to be working with directly. I want to ask you, how many people do you currently manage? I don't even know.
I currently manage 5. So that's something that's like kind of interesting as well, is that I thought that we were like very quote unquote normal, like to rep like 5 to 7 influencers. And then I was in LA recently for a podcast launch like 2 months ago. And I met a few other agents at this podcast launch party, and we were chatting about work and whatever else. And they were both saying that they manage between like 15 to 25 influencers each. And I was like, what? I was so taken back because I feel like I am really busy with 5 influencers. And I'm like, you have 15 to 25? And she said, yeah. And like, but it was normal.
I don't even understand. Like, I feel like we talk all the time. How would we don't talk about bullshit. We talk about actual work and, you know, stuff that needs to get handled.
Right.
Do they have, how can they even do that?
Well, so I have a talent coordinator that's on our team, right? So it's not like it's just me for us. They also would have a talent coordinator or an assistant or something to help them. But even with that, I'm just like, obviously, like they're doing well because like they're thriving. But I think talent agencies just handle things differently, be more collaborative, more individual. But yeah, so I rep a roster of 5 influencers that are super busy. I have someone who's like really luxe fashion. I have you that's like lifestyle, dating, wellness. That's kind of where I place you for niche. Dating, for sure. You give the best dating advice ever. What Would Coco Do is like everybody's highlight of the week. I have someone who is like really tech and gamey, and another creator who's like really wellness focused, self-love, real and raw content. So yeah. And then I also just brought on a mom influencer who I'm really excited about because I'm a mom myself, and mom influencers are definitely hard to come by because a lot of them don't want to do content creation full time because they're a mom and they want to spend that time with their children, and they'll take gifted partnerships because that's great and they don't have to pay for those extra things, but they don't want to make it into a career. And that's not to say that all of them don't, but it's hard to find ones that aren't already signed to an agency that do want to pursue that as a full-time career. So when I found the talent that I had brought on as a mom, that was really exciting as well. So yeah, I have a roster of 5 currently.
When I even heard 20 or 25, how do you even send a text to 25 people every single day? Like, do you not say good morning to your talent, or do you not, I don't know. I mean,
I have no idea.
If it works for them, good for them. But I am so, actually, that's also one of the reasons why I was so happy to be with you guys, because I saw that it's more like a boutique agency versus like these. Also, when I was in New York, when I was working in beauty, I had an agent, so I was already kind of familiar with the whole world.
Oh, and really? And that's like a makeup agent, right?
Yeah. And you see very quickly how it only matters the actual, not only, but the actual manager you work with, like one, you know, it really matters for me as talent. It's so weird for me to call myself talent. It's
but
weird
you are.
Oh, thanks. But it's like, if we don't mesh well, it would be very difficult to do anything. And I noticed when I was in New York, when I had my agent, that I was getting lost through the cracks because but at the same time, back when I was doing makeup, we were all doing the same thing. We were all doing makeup. So they had to choose which talent they're going to send to the photo shoot or whatever talent the artist, whatever artist the client already knows or likes or something.
Requested.
So I really liked that. I felt like you guys actually cared because if I'm giving a chunk of my money to someone, I want to make sure that they're working for me. And obviously, when you are an influencer, you're not going to always have amazing months. One month you're going to make, you know, a shit ton of money. The other month you're going to make zero. And it's something I want to emphasize here for everybody listening. It's like being an influencer is not just like super glamorous, like people think. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of just a lot of back and forth and a lot of, like, I feel like people don't know that when you're posting a sponsored post, probably like 20 people went through that post and they're like, okay, this is okay. This is okay. Remove this sentence. Cut this, you know, it's a lot of back and forth.
It can be really nitty gritty, like the edits, the back and forth, what time content needs to be posted at. There's so much that goes into these sponsored partnerships that people really have no idea. And you're right, there is like a lot of glitz and glam. There's really amazing events, you get really cool PR, and you get to create content as your full-time job. And if that's what you love to do, then I think that it's an amazing career. But there is a lot of negatives that go along with it as well, just like any job. But Coco, I've seen it with you. Like, you'll hit parts where you're like, I am so burnt out. Like, I don't want to go to any events for 3 weeks. I need to recharge my social battery. It's draining because you go to these events, people want to talk to you, right? Like, they've seen you on social media, they've seen your bubbly self, and they expect that of you when you see them. So even if you're having a crappy day, you still have to be on, right? You still have to be that Coco that they see on Instagram and TikTok. And that can be really draining. And it sounds like, okay, like, poor you. You have to go to an event and get free drinks and free food and mingle with people. But it can be really draining, especially when that's what you're doing every single day. So,
and you know what else? I used to work in hospitality and in nightlife and stuff. So free drinks don't really impress me. Free food doesn't impress me because I was getting free food and drinks ever since I was, I don't know, a kid working in a restaurant. So that's not enough. But as you said, like, yes, you always have to, you know, you need, for me, going to events is creating a new opportunity or creating something. I don't need, like, I'm 32 years old right now. I don't need to go out and get drunk. You know, I can do that in my apartment. That's actually, I don't even drink.
And you would probably prefer it too. Yeah.
Definitely prefer it. Let's start with your typical day. That's what I had written down before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here is a typical day. And I mean, if you were to ask another talent manager at Hermana what their typical day would look like, it's probably somewhat similar, but really different as well. So here's my typical day. So I usually wake up at about 8 a.m. That's when our nanny comes for the day to get our baby. And she usually wakes up at about 8:15. Then I come to work and I usually start with Slack. So Slack, like I had mentioned before, is where we use all of our daily communications. I send talent to-dos. That's where talent typically submits content. I send edits, communications, everything is kind of in Slack. We use that because it's better, well, we think it's better than having to text everything or email everything back and forth. It's nice to have a separate outlet to talk about business. So I'll catch up on Slack messages that I miss, because when I do sign off work, I try not to open Slack after that. in this line of work, it's really difficult to have that work-life balance. I mean, I think I've done a pretty good job of it. And Hermana is really, really great at like setting boundaries and making sure that people have time for their mental health and everything else that's really important. But I try not to look at Slack. So that's why after I sign off at 4 p.m. my time, 4:30 p.m. my time, the next day I'll catch up and see what I missed. Next thing is I'll send my talent daily to-dos. I'm like looking at my to-do list to see what I have next. So I'll send my talent daily to-dos. So whether that's content,
I love
to submit, them.
I love your daily to-dos. I love weekly to-dos. So first you send a weekly to-do. And even though I try to put everything in my calendar when I have deadlines and due dates, I love that you tell me like, okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like I have everything written out right in front of me.
Yes.
So that's what I love. Yeah.
Yes. So every Monday, so I did it already this morning, I'll send my talent daily to do's and then weekly to do's. So what they have due from that day until Sunday, just as a reminder, it's also in our internal software that we use as well, but it's nice to get that like reminder. Then I'll dive into my inbox, and my inbox on Mondays is always insane, just from brands emailing from Friday. So we also have flex Fridays at Hermana, so we don't have to work Fridays. We just work Monday to Thursday. Now, because I'm like, I don't know, I'm OCD and a bit of a tryhard, I do work a couple hours on Fridays just so that my Mondays aren't really overwhelming, because if I didn't do some emails or some communications with my talent on Fridays, I feel like my Mondays would just be swamped. So yeah. I do like, I'll come on Friday, maybe like 9 to 11 a.m. just do some like basic urgent to-dos. And then
I have a question. As of right now, I never like needed something and you were not replying or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what would you, so let's say you have a flex Friday and let's say that you go with your family to, somewhere the whole afternoon, and then a brand comes in and like something flying happens. What would you do? Or like a talent has an emergency with a campaign that she needs to do that day. Like, what would you do?
Coco, this literally happens all the time. This literally happens like in the evenings or on a flex Friday, and you just like deal with it. So basically I'll see an email come in that's like really urgent. So what happened this last Friday, basically a brand came with an offer to a talent that was a really good deal, and I knew that she would want it, and it had to be posted by Monday. So that meant I had to review the contract, get her to sign it, get it back to the brand. She had to create a concept, get the concept approved, film the content, send the content, edit the content, get the content approved, get the caption approved, all in like over a time period where I'm technically off. So that was a lot, but it happens. And I mean, it doesn't happen something like that intense that often, but when it does, it's kind of just expected that like you do that, right? Like have that quick deadline, you jump in, get that task done. And I do have a lot of time off, so I'm making it sound like I don't, but I do. But when things like that happen, you just have to prioritize it. Luckily, Kaylee, who is the founder, she's also the head of talent. If I'm ever away or like I'm at Disneyland with my daughter for the day or I'm going to the cabin or whatever the case may be, she's amazing and she will step in and handle whatever needs to be handled. So for example, the contract that I received on Friday, it was like extremely wordy. And typically if anything is a little bit, or if there's any contract that I just want a second set of eyes on, she's awesome. So she was able to do that for me on Saturday. So yeah, basically I prioritize it or I ask Kaylee if she can handle it.
So do you specifically go through all the contracts or you guys kind of, wow, I thought.
And then we also have a legal team. Yeah.
And that's what I thought. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if it's like a basic general contract, we will review it ourselves. But if it's something that's like a little more intense, longer, a big deal, we do have a legal team that will review it as well.
I want to point out a few things. Actually, I want you to point out a few things. If somebody is an influencer and they don't have management, what are some things that they should pay attention to when reading their contracts?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's two big things that talent who haven't had management or maybe just don't know get that gets missed quite often. So that would be
where do influencers get burned?
Exclusivity and paid ad usage. So brands always try to include paid ad usage, any type of media usage with the content that the influencer is creating.
Can you just explain what does paid media usage mean?
Yeah, of course. So when an influencer gets hired by a brand to create content for them and post it to their channel, generally it includes organic social resharing, where the brand can then take that content, reshare it to their social channels with credit to the influencer. They cannot boost that content or put paid ad or like put ad dollars behind it. So boost it, whitelist it, anything like that, because that would also incur a licensing fee. So influencers have like monthly, weekly, yearly licensing fees for brands to be able to use their content in billboards, in on their website, in email sendouts, in like a boosting capacity if you want to get that content extra views. That all has a licensing charge. So a lot of talent don't know that they should be charging extra for that, like a licensing charge. It's very standard, but a lot of times it gets missed. So I would say that. And then the other thing would be exclusivity. A lot of the times with exclusivity, they will say that you can't post for competitors of that same category for a number of days, weeks, months. You should be charging for however long that is so that you are not losing out on brand deals for that time. So I would say that exclusivity and paid ad usage are the things that are most overlooked. And brands always try and be like, well, we're going to boost your content. People are going to see it. You'll get more followers.
I don't need that. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, great. It's like, that's great. But then also other brands that could be possible competitors wanting to work with you. So say a dating app hires you, Coco, and because you create awesome dating content.
Thanks.
And they're saying, okay, you cannot post for our competitor dating apps for 6 months. Well, that's taking out a huge sum of your income, right? So you have to charge accordingly for that. Or if that dating app wants to boost your content, that's great as well. It's going to be seen by so many more people. But now other dating apps aren't going to want to hire you because they associate you now with that dating app because it's being shown to so many more people. So, I mean, there's two sides to every coin.
Let me just add here. When a brand has extra dollars to put behind your ad, that means they have extra dollars to pay you.
Exactly.
And that's another thing why I'm so grateful for you guys, because I obviously didn't know all of these things in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And when I was starting, I was just happy to sign whatever. Like I just wanted to, especially when a brand comes to me that I love.
Yes.
I was like, wow, let me just, I didn't even read.
Let me just sign.
Yeah. Let me just sign. Let me just get the product. Let me just post. I want to give an example and I want girls really to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a med spa and they're inviting you to their med spa to touch up your lips, you know, get rid of your wrinkles a little bit. And you sign a contract and you don't read that contract. And in that contract, they're saying that they can use everything what you was just saying. Like they can put money towards it. Like they can just promote that content. And imagine you 5 years later, I don't know, you're working in politics now and you don't really want people to, you know, you don't want people to see you getting your lips touched up. So that's
literally
why you need to read your contracts.
Yes. Or have a professional or someone in the industry review it quickly for you, just so that you fully know what you are signing to, because the brand is not going to outline it for you easily.
Okay. Let's do a little role play. How does it work when we have a campaign?
Okay. So typically when Coco gets a brand campaign, this is what it looks like. So a brand will email myself, because Coco has my email in her bios, and they'll be like, hey, we really want to work with Coco. What does this look like? Generally, everyone wants to send gifted and then expect content in return. And I let them know that unfortunately, we don't guarantee content for gifted campaigns. Would you like to hear her rates? We'll negotiate back and forth on rates, come to a conclusion. I present that best and final offer over to Coco. She will decide if she wants to accept it or reject it. I then let that brand know if we accept it, they'll send over the creative brief. I pass that along to Coco. We'll negotiate a timeline for deliverables, when content should be submitted, when content should be posted. We usually follow up with analytics a week later. And that's how that usually starts. Coco and I have been also trying to meet with all the brands that we sign deals with prior to creating the content. It's always nice for the content creator to meet the person who is either negotiating on behalf of the brand or the person who is the brand. It's nice for the content creator to build that relationship so that hopefully it can be a long-term partnership or reoccurring partnership, because when the creator is so removed, it's a little bit difficult to build that solid relationship. So we've been meeting with brands, which has been going really well, because then Coco can also run her content ideas by that brand, which eliminates like edits and more back and forth. So when they get to kind of talk via video call, explaining what her vision is, making sure it aligns with the brand's vision, it's just been working really well.
Yeah, you explained this really nicely. I will say it from my perspective. I get a message on Slack and you're like, hey, this brand wants to work with you and this is how much they're offering. And I'm like, yo, can we get a little more money?
Literally 90% of the time, Coco's like, so you say best and final, but like, can we get a couple more grand from that? Or
yeah, that would be lovely. But no, and then we agree. And then usually the brands, let's say if it's a skincare product, a brand sends me the product and then I get the product, I use it a little bit. And usually, obviously, I usually really work with brands that I actually love, because I'm taking this as my career and as my name and as my, you know, I'm not going to work with a drugstore one day and then with a high-end luxury brand the other day. And then the third day I'm going to say, I don't use skincare. Like I'm really trying to be authentic with my content and partner up with brands I actually truly love. So they send me the product, because usually it's a new launch. They send me the product. I try out the product. As we said, we try to get on these calls so I can get to know the person behind the brand. Mm-hmm. And then I ask any questions. And then I create the video, I upload it onto Notion. We need to talk about Notion. So I upload my content onto Notion, and then depends on the brand, but usually in the next few days, they come back with whatever edits or approval right away. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, that's pretty much it. And then we agree on the date where I'm going to be posting. And yeah, I think that's it. Is that how we do
it? One thing I will say about Coco is that she gets brand approval really quickly. There's some talent that we work with that like it's lots of edits, and that just might be the type of brands that they're working with or the niche that they're in, that they are a little bit more nitpicky. But Coco has a really great... She has a really great way of hitting all the key points that are in the brief. And I know, Coco, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. Like, what do you do when you get that brief? I know
question. Yeah. When I get, okay, so for somebody who doesn't know what a brief is, it's you get a deck, you get a PowerPoint presentation, basically. And the brand is like, hey, we are this and this brand. So usually the first few slides, it's like their brand and who they are and all about the brand. Then it goes, this is the product we want to highlight, and this is the key messaging that we want you to hit. Then I go to their Instagram or TikTok, depending on the platform, depending on what we're doing a collab for. So let's say if I go to their Instagram and then I go through their feed and I already see what kind of content they post on their feed, which means I guess they like that kind of content. So if a brand is more like playful and it's more, you know, like sassy, and I turn on my bitchy Coco attitude. Not bitchy, but like, you know, sassy Coco vibes.
Yeah, if you go to Coco's page, her Freck Beauty, the rich bitch, was that a moisturizer?
It was a moisturizer, and they have a rich bitch line. It's a whole
rich bitch line. Yes. Okay, so if you go to Instagram and look at Coco's rich bitch line, she did an amazing IG reel about that. That was such a good fit for her content. Yeah, I don't really know where I was going with that, but yeah.
No, thank you. I think it was just a compliment. Yeah, because like let's say a rich bitch. I'm going to create a different video for a campaign that's like rich bitch collection versus a campaign that is like luxury beauty, you know, immerse in your skincare. It's like every brand is different, so you need to like go to their page and try to become that brand. Like try to learn what kind of content they like, what kind of colors they like, what kind of editing they like. You know, some brands want just like something super aesthetic with a voiceover. Another brand wants me to basically be in my pajamas and just speak to the camera. It's very different. So that is usually, okay, so that is my process. So I go to also, because you always have certain hashtags that you have to use in the campaign.
Yes.
So I go to those hashtags and I see if there are any other creators that already posted that campaign. So I'm thinking, okay, if they already posted that campaign, they use the same hashtag, that means that the brand loved their video. So this video is already approved. So I guess if I do something similar to that video, that might work.
Coco, that's so smart. I didn't know that you looked it up by the hashtag, but that is so brilliant.
Oh, I do so much research, Brooke.
Yeah, that is so smart, because you're right. If that content was approved to be posted, obviously it was approved, the brand loved it, and it's live. So you should be doing something not the same, but somewhat similar in terms of the idea.
Yes. So I really try. When in my very beginnings as an influencer, I didn't obviously do all of that. This came with a lot of trial and error and practice. And also, to be very honest, sometimes you have a brand who you send them your video and they're like, we don't like it. And you're like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? But then it's like, sometimes the brand is just, you know, they're just going a little crazy. But sometimes you just didn't hit those points, which luckily didn't happen that much in my career, but it did happen.
No.
So you need to do your research. I literally approach it as I'm studying a paper, as if I'm like about to write an essay about something. I do so much research, because that's the easiest, that eliminates all the back and forth later on. I'm not going to have to do any edits with me, which is so funny. Some brands corrected my grammar in some videos. So now I'm like doing grammar checks. I'm like, come on, guys, you know who you are. You're hiring a Croatian girl. Come on.
But, hey, but I also help with that too. I used to be an English teacher. So I'm like, I'll just go in there and tweak a couple things.
Yes, please. Yeah. Let's say that I tell you that I want to work with a certain brand. What do you do?
Okay, so basically this happens a lot. So we have an internal software called Notion that we use for submitting content. As soon as a brand emails us, we put it in there so that the talent can see who we have in negotiations. It's a really seamless, transparent tool that works really well for us. We've been using it for about 3 years now, and yeah, it's really great. Maybe 2 years, maybe that's a lie. Anyways, when a talent says a brand that they want to work with, they'll send it in text, Slack, wherever, or they can put it directly into their pitch wish list, which we have in Notion. So if Coco says she really wants to work with Dyson, she loves the Dyson.
Oh my God, I was just
camera.
Thinking about Dyson.
What, sorry?
I was just thinking about Dyson.
Were you really?
As you were saying this, I was like, I wonder what brand she's going to say. I was like, Dyson. Because haven't worked with Dyson. So that's on our brand wish list.
We are manifesting right now that Coco is going to work with Dyson.
Everybody thinks I work with them because I post them so much.
No, it's totally organic. Literally 100% organic. But we are going to work with Dyson. But yeah, so basically Coco will put Dyson in her pitch wish list. Then Kate, our talent coordinator, she'll go and find a contact. So whether we have one already internally, or she has a bunch of methods in finding the correct talent, or sorry, the correct email to pitch to. I'll create a pitch email for Coco explaining who Coco is, why she wants to work with them, some examples of her content, and ways that she can incorporate Dyson into her content seamlessly. Send that off to them and hope they reply. I will also follow up as well, like usually a week or two, see if there's still anything. Sometimes they just don't reply, right? They probably get, these brands get so many emails from talent wanting to work with them, but a lot of the times they will reply and say, oh my gosh, this is a perfect fit. We would love to work with Coco. What are her rates? And go from there. So we do a ton of pitching. And that's something also that is a big perk for talent to sign with an agent, because they don't have to do that pitching themselves. That takes up a ton of time, crafting those emails, finding those contacts, building those relationships, where we already have those relationships a lot of the time. Because those big brands that you want to work with, Best Buy, Dyson, they usually work with PR agencies, which we have those contacts with. So once we find out, okay, this PR agency reps this list of brands, we can reach out to them, present the talent to them, and say they really want to work with this brand. So that is a big thing that we also do, is pitching. Another thing that we haven't really touched on as well is events. And why do influencers go to events? I think that there's a lot of reasons as to what makes someone go to a certain event, or if they go to all events or no events. Coco, do you want to talk a little bit about what you look for when attending an event, and why you choose to go to some and maybe don't go to others?
Yes. As I mentioned, I've been in the hospitality, nightlife, event world since I was a teenager. So that is like kind of second nature for me. And I was always surrounded with people. I was always going to events. So at this point in my life, I only go to events that make sense for me professionally. So I'm not going to go to an event. When I get a flyer, an invite or something, or somebody invites me directly, and if I see... And I'm sorry for all the brands that I declined because of this. But if when I see in the, you know, oh, bring as many friends as you want, or like, let me know how many people you're bringing. I already know that this event is not gonna, like, I'm not gonna be noticed by the brand representative or by the owner or something. So I go to events where I see, okay, it's a sit down dinner, or it's an intimate event, or it's a class, or it's somewhere where it's not going to be so huge and so massive. Because as I said, you know, before when I was in my early 20s, I was going to every single event, every single, I can't emphasize how many, like,
and you were in New York at that time, right? So there's probably things happening literally every day and every evening.
Yes. But because of that I went to all these events, I learn how to obviously talk to people, and I learn how to differentiate literally from the invite to see like what event makes sense for me, what event doesn't make sense for me. I would go if I need to take a pic, if I want to take a picture, because obviously a huge part of being an influencer, you just show up somewhere, take a picture and go home. Like I do.
And it's great PR, right? It's great PR to get to be seen at these events and meet the people that are really like in right now, but it's draining and it takes up a lot of your time and a lot of your mental space. So I think you're really good at choosing, okay, I'm going to go to this event because this brand really aligns with my personal brand. Maybe I'll be able to meet someone who works for this brand and see if we have an opportunity to work together in the future. I want to go to this event because I'm
maybe
a big
it's just
fan.
A fun brand. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And maybe you have other creator friends that are going as well and you want an opportunity to go and like hang out with them at like a really fun place where you can get some great content and shoot some content together. Because I think a lot of people don't realize that there is a big pressure on creators to be pumping out this organic content all the time. And it's like, when are you going to shoot these? I mean, luckily last year you had a ton of travel, so you had a lot of opportunities to take really engaging content. But in times where like you're in Miami for an extended period of time, it's nice to go to these events to have a fresh scenery or get content with people that you haven't seen in a while or you're meeting for the first time. So there are perks to it, but I think you do a really good job of being selective.
I think it's because I've been in the event space and I've been going to so many events for so long, and I'm like talking 10 plus years long. This is not like me all of a sudden being like, oh, let me be picky with my events. No, in the very beginning, I was like, give me every invite. Like I want to be everywhere. But then, you know, you realize it doesn't really always make sense.
And I have two questions for you, Coco. You had talked a bit about how you used to be signed to like a makeup agency. Do you still do professional makeup? Like if someone in the Miami area is looking to get their makeup done, is that still something you do, or do you kind of not do that anymore?
Funny enough, I still have my makeup kit sitting right here in my closet. Yeah. I just can't get rid of it, but I don't really do makeup actively. No. I do makeup for my friends for their weddings and stuff like that. If, you know, we agree to that. I think I did two or three of my friends last year for their wedding, but I don't do it actively anymore.
No.
But I mean, if somebody wants to hire me and pay me a shit ton of money, I'll be there.
You guys, Coco does phenomenal makeup. And I promise I'm not just trying to pump her tires because I'm on her podcast right now. But like, if you go to like OG Coco, like scroll back to like those OG reels, her makeup tutorials are chef's kiss. So, I mean, if you ever want to hire Coco, just shell out the money and then Coco will come do it.
She'll do it. What was the second question? You said you have two questions.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
I currently am super happy with Miami.
Are you really?
In Miami, I am so, so, so happy here. And my brother was just here last week and he's like, you have everything. Like there's nothing. You're obviously New York and LA are more business focused, I would say. But even with the remote
business
world,
focused within your industry,
I used to live in New York. I was there for 7.5-8 years and it was just getting too much. It was just a lot. And Miami is I love Miami. I feel like I have everything in my, I have the weather, I have beautiful mm-hmm. weather, I have the work ethic that I have back from New York. There's a lot of people yeah. from New York who moved here, so I have my little circle of, you know, New Yorkers, because people usually think that Miami is a party city, a vacation city, which is true if you mm-hmm. make it like that, but if you make it right. into a more professional environment, you can definitely thrive. I never really explored the idea of living in LA because I was there once a long, long time ago. I was like, okay, if I get, it's so funny. Actually, last night, Wes and I were talking about this. If he, for some reason, needs to move to LA for work, I was like, I would mm-hmm. go. I don't mm-hmm. care. At this point, like, I would go anywhere that's going to improve either my career or, you know.
Right. Anything. You're open to it. But it just, yeah. the energy there, you align better with Miami energy.
As I said, I was in LA once, so I don't really, and I was very young, so I don't remember it that much.
Okay, well, we need to go to LA.
We do.
This is just a great opportunity. And then one last thing I want to say is that I'm going on, well, I think I'm going, as long as childcare aligns. I have a beautiful 2-year-old daughter, and it just kills me every time I leave her. These business trips I go on with talent are so much fun, and they're so great for relationship building, and it's so important. But Coco has a bougie bestie trip coming up with Trova Trip. They're going to Mallorca and Ibiza. I think I'm saying both of those wrong. Did I say both of those wrong?
No, you're saying it okay. You can say Mallorca and Ibiza, but you don't have to
okay.
say it like that.
Okay. So that's where they're going. I'm like 90% sure that I'm going to go as well. If not, Kaylee will be going. And if anybody has any questions, please just DM Coco. She has all the info about it. Or else you can DM me as well. But I mean, I'm not anything to follow. I just post about my 2-year-old and
reality TV. I love your posts. I love your close friends' stories. What advice would you give to your younger self?
To not pigeonhole yourself based on the opportunities that are surrounding you at that moment. So being from a small city in the middle of Canada, I feel like a lot of people are working for the government, working for a Crown Corp, working in...
As a teacher.
Yeah, as a teacher, right? Like that's what I was. Right. Like kind of like the normal quote unquote, like 9-to-5 job. And that's what I thought that I was going to do because that's what everyone does around here, right? That's what my family does. That's what my friends do. That's not to say that that's what everyone does and that that's the only thing you can do. But I felt like I was, quote unquote, limited being based in Regina. I thought that I had to move to LA or New York or Vancouver or Toronto to be exposed to more opportunities to get to where I wanted to be. And like, I'm 29 right now, and I can honestly say that I do have my dream job, and I work with the best people, and I'm really, really grateful to be doing what I'm doing. And I never would have guessed that I would have this job when I was younger. So I think my advice to my younger self would be just to not give up on what you're passionate in, to not pigeonhole myself and think that I can't do exciting things that are exciting and a passion for me. I've always been really into entertainment, pop culture, social media, and there are opportunities out there no matter where you're from. You just have to go for them yourself. And if there's no open opportunities that you're finding, you have to create those opportunities for yourself.
I love that. Please share, where can everybody find you, the agency, everything?
Absolutely. So I work for Hermana Agency. That is where Coco is signed to. It is at hermana.agency on Instagram. Our website is currently under construction. And then my own personal Instagram, if you want to like see my daughter and my life in Canada, is at Brooke Donahue, DONOHUE _.
I love it. Well, thank you everybody for listening. And I think honestly, we can even do a part 2 because this was very fun.
It was really fun. And I feel like we can talk a lot more about like what goes on in the influencer industry and what people can expect if they're looking for that career.
Well, if they want to hear that episode, I guess they're going to have to leave a comment.
Leave a comment or DM Coco.
Bye, Brooke. It was so lovely chatting with you.
Thank you, Coco.